Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today we celebrate the Feast of St. Benedict, Abbot, and from England we hear from Father Richard Aunsworth, Prior and Parish Priest of Holy Cross in Leicester, and Lecturer in New Testament at Blackfriars in Oxford. His preaching today is entitled Society Under the Patronage of Saint Benedict.
A reading from the Book of Proverbs. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. Those of you outside Europe might wonder why I've begun my sermon with that reading. It is the proper first reading of the Mass of St. Benedict, which, for those of us on this side of the Atlantic, is a feast, since Benedict is one of several patron saints of Europe. I hope my transatlantic brothers and sisters won't mind hearing a little about this great man who played such a vital role in the establishment of our Western model of religious life. Whenever I think of Benedict, my mind turns to the remarkable book A Canticle for Leibowitz by Walter M. Miller, one of the earliest post-apocalyptic science fiction novels. It deals with the preservation of human knowledge by monks of an invented religious order called the Albertians, following a nuclear holocaust and the subsequent rejection of scientific knowledge by the great majority of those who survived. The book was inspired by the author's witnessing of the destruction of the monastery of Monte Cassino in Italy during the Second World War, a monastery founded by St. Benedict himself. Although it's now widely recognised that the phrase the Dark Ages, as a description of the period between the fall of the Roman Empire and the rise of medieval civilization, is a massive oversimplification, there is nevertheless much truth in the notion that the monastic life in the West was one of the ways in which human knowledge and culture was preserved in a time of relative barbarism and destruction. But more importantly, as reflected in today's reading from Proverbs, monasteries continue to function as lights in the darkness, as islands of Christian civilization in a world of barbarism. This is because, while there is the greatest value in all human knowledge, Christians have always acknowledged that the highest value of human knowledge is that it can point beyond itself, directing our minds and hearts towards that which our technical skills and our greatest cleverness can never apprehend, namely, the God who is the source of all wisdom, of all that human sciences seek to understand. And we recognise that a human society that turns away from God, seeking to gain the mastery of the created world without acknowledging its creator, such a society will necessarily become self-destructive, a culture of death. I venture to suggest that we are seeing this happen in Europe, and indeed throughout the so-called civilized world today. So to place Europe under the patronage of St. Benedict is to recall Western civilization both to its origins and to its end. To its origins in the Judeo-Christian tradition that values human knowledge while respecting its limitations and its purpose, and its end, which is a society that looks to the kingdom of God for its highest values, a society of justice, peace, mercy and faithfulness. It was such a society as this that St. Benedict sought to establish by his rule for monastic life. Famously known for its moderation, his rule is one example of what it looks like to combine the highest ideals with the most profound realism. At the same time, it concerns itself with how the monk should seek to live a Christ-centered life here on earth, which is achieved by his work, both spiritual and practical, and it deals in an entirely practical manner with how the abbot and the other officers of the monastery should go about the necessary administrative tasks involved in managing a community. St. Benedict recognized that far from being contradictory, these two things, idealism and realism, necessarily go hand in hand. Without realism, ideals are nothing more than wishful thinking. Without ideals, realism is cold, empty, and quite literally pointless. In the same way, the Benedictine life, and more widely the many forms of religious common life that exist in the Western Church, including my own Dominican life, these are all fruitful combinations of things that might seem to pull in opposite directions. For the monk in particular, the desire for the solitary life of the desert, communing with God in peace, is facilitated rather than compromised by the demands of community, since both are ultimately directed towards the life of charity. For Dominicans, it's the fruitful combination of contemplation and action, again ultimately both directed towards the flourishing of the kingdom of God. In the end, today's feast is a celebration of the vocation of all human beings to cooperate with God in the building up of his kingdom. Whether it is in the labours of the scientist, the politician, or the monk, may that kingdom prevail against all the forces of our modern world that are opposed to it.